All right, good morning again. You guys good? All right. Hey, I love what 1 Thessalonians chapter 2 says when Paul is writing to the church. He says that he has a great desire and he's eager to see them face to face. Guys, I'm so grateful to be with you today and to see you face to face, right? If you're online, we're glad that you can see our face, but we do look forward to seeing your face as well. And so, Lord willing, we can see you soon, but glad that you're able to worship with us online. Guys, I also wanted to say thanks for being a church that is not only in the community, but for the community, a church that just loves and gives towards, especially our education. Over the last 2 weeks, on behalf of our church, I was able to go and visit two different schools. I went to Vail Academy in high school this past week, and then the week before, I was able to represent our church right here at Desert Sky and bringing them some words of encouragement. I was able to connect with the principals and some of the leadership and staff there and just letting them know that we love them and brought some EGs, right? Everybody smiles over EGs, amen? If not, man, you got to check your heart. I'm just saying, man, it's got a heart problem. Unless you really do have a heart problem, then maybe you shouldn't eat EGs. I don't know how that works, but man, I just really good to be with them this week. Everybody's just shaking their head at me. I'm just going to move on, okay? Right. But thanks for being a church that loves those that God has placed around us. We need to be involved with our school district. Amen? Man, we need to be involved. We need to have a seat at the table. We need to love on them and encourage them and pray for them. I'm also looking forward to this weekend. We're going to go down to the Pima, what's it called? Pima County Fairgrounds. That was a hard word. All right. I made fun of my wife yesterday, and now I'm getting back because now the whole world can see it. And I told her, words are hard because she stumbled over something. So words are hard, babe. But we're going to be out there and sharing the gospel, inviting people to church, and being a part of what God's doing. So I look forward to you guys being out there. This morning, if you got your Bibles, this morning we're in our third week of our series as we walk through the New Testament book, verse by verse, the book of James. James is the half-brother of Jesus. He rejected Jesus earlier in his life, and then once Jesus had died on the cross and rose again, James surrendered his life to Jesus as his Lord and Savior, and God used him to write this book. And what we see in this book is what it looks like to live out what we're titling in an authentic and courageous faith. And here in James, God's word is teaching us what it looks like to live the life of a Jesus follower. In a world where we face trials and temptations and persecution, it is important that our lives reflect Jesus. And so we're seeing here in God's word that our lives should give evidence that we belong to and follow Jesus. Amen, church? Right, it should be evidence in our life. The first week, we were reminded that we are going to face trials in this world. But even in the midst of those, we can still have the perspective and choose joy. Because God is with us through those trials, church. He doesn't leave us alone in those seasons. And he's going to use those moments, those trials and temptations in our life to make us more like Jesus. Last week, we looked at wisdom. We looked at what wisdom is and what it is not. Who we should seek wisdom from and who we should not. And James reminds us that as Christians, we're not to seek the so-called wisdom of this world, but we're to seek first the kingdom of God, right? We're to seek God and ask him for his wisdom. And when he gives it to his church, we don't just lay it out and consider it with the rest of the options that we have. We're to trust him and follow and do what he leads us to do. This morning, James is once again having us look at trials and temptations in our lives. So I got real creative with the title of our sermon today. And I titled it Trials and Temptations. It's a tough one. I prayed about it for a long time, but that's where we're at. Trials and temptations. I know we don't always like to talk about this, but it's almost as if God knows we need to hear this. Right? It's almost as if God knows that we're going to face trouble and heartache and difficult seasons in our life and that we are going to face constant temptation. And so grab your Bibles, open them up with me to James chapter 1. And today we're going to look at verses 8 or 12 through 18. James 1, 12 through 18. A few weeks ago when James was talking about trials and temptations, he was telling us that we can still choose joy in the midst of those, that we can still trust God as we walk through them. But here in our passage today, James is going to lay out some truths for us and really some godly warnings for us, especially in the area of temptation. So we're going to begin by talking about trials as a whole, but then we're really going to dive into what are temptations and what does that look like in our life. And so let's stand, church. Let's honor God. and the reading of his word. And just follow along as I read this morning from James 1, verse 12. Here's what God's word tells us. Blessed is a man, and he's talking to a Christian, so a man or woman of God. Blessed is a man who perseveres under trial. For once he has been approved, he will receive the crown of life, which the Lord has promised to those who love him. Let no one say when he is tempted, I am being tempted by God, for God cannot be tempted by evil, and he himself does not tempt anyone. For each one is tempted when he is carried away and enticed by his own lust. Then when lust is conceived, it gives birth to sin, and when sin is accomplished, it brings forth death. Do not be deceived, my beloved brethren, my beloved sisters. Every good thing given and every perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of lights, with whom there's no variation or shifting shadow. In the exercise of his will, church, he brought us forth by the word of truth, so that we would be a kind of first fruits among his creatures. Let's pray. Father, as we hold your word in our hands, as we read it, God, we are grateful. Thank you that we can hear from you and read your love letter to us. Your will, your truth, your wisdom. And God, as we gather together right now here in person and online, God, I pray, Lord, that our hearts would be receptive. And God, we would pay attention to the warnings that you lay out for us in your word today. In Jesus' name, amen. You can be seated. All right. The first time that James mentions trials at the very beginning, he was telling us these things are going to happen, right? We're going to face these moments in our life, these trials and temptations in our life. Church, we're going to face them until we're with Jesus, right? I didn't hear any amens, but that's true. Like, we're going to face them until we are with Jesus. But he's also telling us that even when we're in the midst of it, even when we're in it deep, James says at the beginning of this chapter, you can still consider it all joy. You can count it all joy. You can choose joy, because we know that God is with us, and that if we trust him, he will use those moments in our life to make us much more like him. But now in verse 12, James talks about trials and temptations again, and he's going to share with us some really important truths that we need to understand about trials and temptations, truths that we are to know as Christ followers. And so as we walk through the text this morning, I pray that we can see and know and apply and believe these truths to our lives. So let's begin with truth number one by looking at verse 12. James says this, he says, blessed is a man who perseveres under trial. This verse really points us back to what we saw in verse 2, where he writes, consider it all joy, my brothers and sisters, when you face various trials. He doesn't say if, he says when you face trials. So based off of verse 2 and verse 12, truth number one is simple, and it's a repeat, and it's this: we will all experience trials. We will all experience trials. That's something we already know, right? A few weeks back, we saw that, but we can forget that sometimes. We kind of live life sometimes as though that is not true. But knowing that we all experience trials, it helps prepare us for when they happen, right? We know that they're going to come at some point. It helps us be prepared for when they happen. We're to know that when trials and temptations come, that God's word teaches us how to respond, how to choose joy. What do we do when we face these trials and temptations? And now let's look at all of verse 12. James writes this, blessed is a man. When I say man, in this context, he's talking about a man or a woman of God. Blessed is a man who perseveres under trial. For once he has been approved, he will receive the crown of life, which the Lord has promised to those who love them. Kevin, do me a huge favor and keep that slide up for a while until we get to the next one, just so we can look at it as we go. But in verse 12, James is just basically covering all kinds of trials. And in a bit, he's going to single out and focus on temptations. But I want us to focus on all trials, all hardship, all heartache, and see what James says in verse 12. He says, blessed is the man. So this is, you're going to have to see a little bit of contrast here. So it says, blessed is the man. And blessed means to be truly happy. So James is saying, happy is the one who perseveres under trial. Right? Our normal human response, I don't know anybody's normal human response who is happy about going through a trial. If you are, I want to hang out with you and get some of that happy juice, because that's just weird, man. You know what I mean? Like, it's just not a normal human response. But what makes us happy when we come out of a trial? James is saying this, when we face trials, When we face these heartaches, when we face these difficult moments, when we're surrounded by them, we can endure. We will make it through. We will come out the other side. And if we persevere through it, meaning if we trust God through it, if we seek his wisdom when they're in the midst of it, if we stand firm in our faith, if we honor God during this trial, even when it's hard, even when it's painful, if we come out of that trial in a God-honoring way, the Bible says we will be happy. And he goes on to say, for once he has been approved. Been approved is a Greek phrase that basically means once you have passed the test. Once you've gone through the trial and passed through that trial, once we have gone through the pain and the heartache and come out successful and victoriously spiritually on the other end, and when our faith has endured through that trial, here's what James says. He says, he or she will receive the crown of life which the Lord has promised to those who love him. Don't miss this, church. Please don't miss this. James is saying, in this life, we're going to face trials. Some very hard and painful and difficult trials. Amen, church? And when we go through these, the Bible says we can endure, we can have joy when we keep our eyes on what is to come. Verse 12 is a reminder, church, that we don't live for this world. We're reminded here that this world is not our home. As Jesus followers, we are living, the Bible says, for our reward to come. Too often we get caught up in living for the rewards of this world, but we're to live for the rewards that are to come. We can have joy, church, because our end goal is the crown of life. The crown of life is not talking about a crown like a king wears. This is a crown talking about Olympics, right? They would take a wreath and put it on their head or over their head that once they've gone through all of the trials of their sport, once they've made it through and they've come out successful and victorious on the other end, that's the crown that he's talking about. We can have joy because our end goal is the crown of life when we make it through this world and we're with him. That's what he's talking about. Trials remind us that we are living for that eternal reward, not for the rewards of this world. Truth number two, we're going to experience trials. We will, but we can have joy when we learn to live for his reward. If we live for the rewards of this world, you're going to have very short-lived joy. You're always going to be looking for the next reward. But if we live for his reward, we will be truly happy. And then James in verse 13, that's just trials and temptations as a whole. But in verse 13, James kind of takes like this hard turn where he's really just going to direct his attention right at the temptations that we face. That's where we're going to spend our time on the rest of the day today. When we talk about trials, that does include temptations, but James is going to single that out, those temptations, for the rest of this passage. And he says in verse 13, he says, let no one say when he is tempted. So we're introduced to that word. Before we go too far, I want us to define what a temptation is. What does it mean to be tempted? What is a temptation? Right? I'm sure we all have a pretty good idea because we face temptations pretty much every day, right? Right? We face those temptations. But here is the next truth for us this morning. This is the definition that I've wrote out for us. A temptation, church, is an opportunity to sin and choose something other than God. A temptation is the opportunity to sin and choose something other than God. The Bible doesn't tell us that it is a sin to be tempted, right? But temptation is that opportunity that leads us to sin. It's that opportunity in our life to choose something over God. Jesus says in John, he says, if you love me, you'll keep my commandments. If you love me, you won't sin against me, right? But it's in those moments where we choose something other than Jesus where we are sinful. We see this all the way back in Genesis chapter 3. Might as well go to the beginning, right? Adam and Eve, they're hanging out with God. They're created by God. He breathes life into them. He lays out instruction for them. They were clearly told by God. He said, Adam and Eve, as you're chilling out, watching the Super Bowl, as you're doing all these things, right? Super Bowl doesn't matter. The Chiefs are out, so it doesn't matter, you know. I'm just kidding. Right? Me and my wife are still going to do it just so we can have Super Bowl food. All right? But I don't know what they're doing. Adam and Eve didn't go to the Super Bowl. But they were clearly told by God. They said, hey, as you do life, you can eat all of these things. You can go and do this. You can go and do that. You can eat all of these things. Enjoy yourself. Enjoy life with me. But do not eat from the tree in the middle of the garden. Stay away from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. It's not good for you. Don't eat from that tree. Satan disguised himself as a serpent, and he comes in, and what does he do? He doesn't force Eve to eat. He doesn't force Adam to eat. He tempted them. Church, he presented them an opportunity to sin against God. He presented them an opportunity to choose something other than God. Presented him an opportunity to sin against and choose other than God. Here's the next truth that we'll see about temptations. James says in verse 13, when he is tempted, not if he is tempted. So know this, temptation is experienced by all. I remember when I was younger, I was a young man and just struggling with something that I was tempted with all the time. And I just started being discipled by an older gentleman that was in his 70s. And he says, yep, I still face that temptation too. And I'm like, well, goodness, like this is going to be a long, hard life, right? Are you with me, guys? We all, it doesn't matter how old we are, there's still the temptation there. Each and every one of us are presented opportunities daily, hourly, maybe even minutely, if that's a word, right? We are presented these opportunities on a regular basis to sin against God and choose something other than God. That's what a temptation is. Here's what God says. Here's the temptation. Now I have to choose. So back to verse 13. It says, let no one say when he is tempted, I am being tempted of God. For God cannot be tempted by evil, and he himself does not tempt anyone. Church, God does allow us to go through trials. Right? He does allow us to face the thing in this world. But God, church, we need to understand this because sometimes we go through a hard time and say, God, why are you doing this? Right? God does not tempt us. He does not tempt us to sin against him. And we're going to see here in a bit how we are tempted. But temptation, church, we need to know is not from God. But it's important for us to know something. Knowing that temptation is an opportunity to sin and choose something other than God, and knowing that experienced by all. Here's the thing. If you read Matthew, Mark, and Luke, you'll see that when Jesus was beginning his earthly ministry, he himself went out into the desert and he was tempted by the devil himself. Here's good news. Jesus overcame every single one of those. Right? Jesus did not sin. Jesus did not choose something other than God. Amen? Well, he is God, so he can't go against himself. But are you with me, church? Man, we saw him be victorious. I share that to encourage us that there is victory in Jesus. Jesus experienced trials and temptation, and he did not sin. But here's the other side of that. Jesus gets it. Whatever trial or temptation we're walking through, he gets it. He's walked through it. He knows what we're going through, and he's with us as we walk through these trials and temptations. So where does this temptation come from? Let's look at verse 14. He says this, but each one is tempted when he is carried away and enticed by his own lust. Each and every day, church, this world will present opportunities for us to sin and choose something over God. But we also got to understand this, church. Each and every day, we've got to know this. That we can also be tempted by our own fleshly desires. This phrase in verse 14 where he says, by his own lust. But each one is tempted when he is carried away and enticed by his or her own lust. That translates into this, church. By his own evil desire. That means it's within us. We need to know something this morning. You and I are sinful. We are. God is sinless, but we are sinful. Now, praise God, church, through Jesus. If you have been saved, you have been forgiven of those sins. You are made new, right? You're transformed to be more and more like Jesus, but we are not God, amen? And so we are not sinless, and we still have this battle. The Bible tells us in the book of Galatians that there's this battle that's going on within us. The Bible says that the flesh opposes the spirit, and the spirit opposes the flesh. Those are, the word opposes is a military word. They are fighting against each other. We've got to know that. constant battle within us, God and his desires against the desires of our evil flesh. And this isn't an exciting verse to look at, but look at Romans 7:18. Paul writes this, "For I know that nothing good dwells in me, that is in my flesh." He's saying nothing good dwells in my flesh. Now the Lord, when we are saved, the Lord comes and resides within us, right? He seals us until the day of redemption. We are his, right? And so that's good. But when it comes to our flesh, Paul is saying nothing good comes from that. Church, you don't believe me, just look throughout scripture and see what the Bible says about who we are and our heart. Our next truth comes from this verse. James writes, "But each one is tempted when he's carried away and enticed by his own lust." Church, temptation is going to present itself. And we're going to have opportunities from the world and from our own flesh to sin. But it doesn't become sin until we act on it. James says we become tempted and it becomes sin when we are carried away and enticed by our own lust. I want to give us an illustration to help us with this. Any fishermen in here? Anybody like to fish? All right. The word entice in this passage is actually a fishing term. And it means to capture or to catch with bait. Right? But each one is tempted when he's carried away and caught with bait by his own lust. Here's the picture James is painting. No fish, as it's swimming through the stream or the river or wherever, the lake, wherever it is at, no fish knowingly sees a hook and just goes and bites down on it. Are you with me? I mean, there's an opportunity for me to die right here. I think I'm going to go and bite this thing, right? No fish wants to be caught so they can be fried up with some good tartar sauce, right? By the way, my wife makes some really good tartar sauce, homemade tartar sauce. It beats yours. I just want you to know. But they bite because there's something on that hook that appeals to them, right? That lure looks appealing to them. It looks like something they will like. For us, church, it's not like we wake up and say, "Man, I hope that I'm tempted today so that I can sin against God and choose something over God." I hope not. But here's the reality. You will be tempted today and tomorrow. And the next day, and that temptation is going to be presented to us in a way, church, that our flesh will desire it. Our own evil fleshly desire, our own lust will see that temptation and it's going to say, "Man, I want to get me some of that." Are you with me, church? I mean, that's it. They're going to be attracted to it. For example, we are constantly tempted by sinful sexuality. In all of its forms, whether it's pornography, whether it's lust in our mind, whether it is sex outside of marriage, whether it's affair. Are you with me, church? Man, there's that constant temptation for sinful sexuality because our flesh desires it. But we are to know as Christ followers that it is not good for us. We know it goes against God's design, but our flesh has this desire to be satisfied by it. We're tempted by our flesh to pursue the things of this world. And I want to urge each of us today to be aware of the desires that are luring within you. Maybe it's a desire that others know about. Maybe it's a desire that no one knows about but you and God. But I want to urge each of you, do not be enticed or dragged away by that temptation. The Bible tells us throughout the Bible that we are to run away from it. We are to flee from it because it will only cause destruction for you, church, and for those around you. And for those around you. I know it looks appealing. I know it looks like you're going to enjoy it. I know it feels like it might be right or it looks like you need it. But God has given us a warning here, church, and we're going to see more of that warning in the next verse. But that satisfaction is only temporary. Ask somebody else that bit into it. That temptation to sin and choose something over God, even though our flesh wants it, it brings so much destruction and pain. But here's what we learn from this verse. Temptation is that opportunity to sin and choose something over God. In church, here's the thing. We are responsible in our temptations. One of the things that Christians like to say all the time is, "The devil made me do it." Right? Let's just own that one, right? we cannot blame God for it because he does not tempt us. And we really can't blame others around us because although they may be the one that tempts us. We'll see in, I think it's James chapter 4, we'll see that the devil may tempt us, our flesh may tempt us, the internet may tempt us, the TV may tempt us, our friends may tempt us. We may be tempted by others around us, but we are the ones that are responsible for whether or not we bite the bait. We're the ones that are led away by our own evil desires. And so when we face temptations, we are the ones responsible. We must choose, do I run and reject that good-looking bait, or do I bite, do I choose sin and choose this desire over God? Before we move on to verse 15, I want to remind us that God knows that we're going to face sinful temptation, right? He knows the temptations we are going to face. He knows that they're going to, the temptations that are going to come from the world and from within us. And so listen to what 1 Corinthians 10:13 says. Church, y'all got to have this one memorized. He says this, God is faithful, who will not allow you, God will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you are able. So we can't say, I wasn't able to say no, because God is faithful. And if we trust God, we know that he will not allow, he doesn't tempt us. He knows that we got to know that he will not allow us to be tempted beyond what we're able. But with that temptation, church, he will provide the way of escape also so that you'll be able to endure it. That's a good word. God is faithful. He's with us. He will not allow a temptation in our life that we are not capable of saying no to, and God will always provide a way of escape. There will always be a way for you and me to resist and turn to God. That's a good word, amen, church? Because we face these temptations, but guess what they do? A temptation should always turn us back to God. Good reminder. Look at me at verse 15. In the next three verses, James is going to try to give us some truth to protect us here. He's wanting us to see the danger that we face if we fall into temptation. If you've had kids, you have giving warnings like this. You might have a kid that, like my little brother when he was young, thought he was Superman. So he climbed up on top of a car, did not listen to the wisdom, right, to say, don't do that. You are not Superman. And for about 30 seconds, that'd be a long fall. Like for about half a second, he enjoyed being Superman, and then he didn't because he landed on his face on the concrete, right? There's warnings like, right, what do you do with your kiddos? You're not Superman, right? Don't jump off the playset. Don't jump off. I'm not sure why my brother was on the car, but don't do that, right? But we're telling them, I know you're tempted to do this, but it will hurt you. And that's what James is going to tell us. Listen to this. But each one of you is tempted when he's carried away and enticed by his or her own lust. Then when lust is conceived, it gives birth to sin. And when sin is accomplished, it brings forth death. Do not be deceived, my beloved brothers and sisters. Go ahead and leave this slide up so we can keep looking at it as we're walking through. But James has really given us the anatomy of sin here. It begins when we have this temptation dangled in front of our life, in front of our eyes, a temptation that will try to deceive us and deceive our flesh, and our flesh sees that temptation, and the flesh that's sinful within us desires it. And it's at that moment, whenever we see it and we desire it, it's at that moment that we are to stand firm with the Lord. We're to keep our eyes on Jesus. We're to look for the way of escape. We're to say no and flee. Maybe you got to get on the phone and call a brother and sister and say, this is too hard for me. I need you to stand with me. I need you to help me. Are you with me, guys? Man, that's why we got to have the brothers and sisters with us. But if we give in, if we do take that bait, if we choose something over God, it's at that moment where our lust wins. It's at that moment where sin happens. It's at that moment where we sin against God and choose something over him. And don't miss what it says next. When sin is accomplished, means when it's fully grown, when it happens, it leads to destruction, it leads to death. Church, that word is serious. We look at sin and, man, that's a little white lie. It's no big deal. It won't hurt anything. The Bible says it leads to death. When sin is accomplished, it brings forth death. The word death here can and does mean physical death. You may know someone, I know people that have chosen a sin that led to them dying. Are you with me? There are sins that we choose that lead to physical death. But this word also here means, it also speaks of misery of hell. When we sin, it will lead to a state of misery within you. But on the spiritual side of it, we also know that our sin, the Bible says in Romans 6:23, that the wages of sin is death. You know what that means? Because you and I have sinned, we deserve, just like we deserve a paycheck for 40, 50, 60 hours, seems like 80 hours, right? But when we work, we deserve a paycheck. The Bible tells us that when we sin, we deserve death. And that's a spiritual death. You know what that means? It means you're going to die physically. It means that you're going to be separated from God and spend eternity in a real place called hell. And that's why Jesus came to die in our place. He took death seriously. Amen, church? This is a serious warning. And that's what we see in our notes today. Write these down. Deception leads to desire, which leads to disobedience, which ends in death. Let me repeat that again. I think, is that down? Is the screen off? Deception leads to desire, which leads to disobedience, which ends in death. Deception, desire, disobedience, death. James is trying to help us understand the destruction that comes when we are enticed and drawn away by the temptation. And so here's a word for us today, church, as your pastor, brothers and sisters in Christ, this is for me too, whenever, whatever temptation you are facing, whatever sin you are flirting with, and Christian, let's not act like we don't flirt with it. Sometimes we peek through the hole, we open up the door just a little bit. Whatever deception you are buying into, whatever sinful desire you want to fulfill and give into, run away from that. Tell someone that loves you, take it to the Lord, look for the way of escape because it will destroy you. It can destroy your relationships. It will lead to misery in your life. Church, God doesn't tell us to resist these temptations because he wants to make your life miserable. He doesn't say stay away from these temptations and resist these temptations because he wants to take away the joy from you. We don't tell our kids not to play in the street because we want to take away their fun. We know that them playing in the street is not good for them. It could lead to death. God leads us away from sin because he loves you and he wants to protect you and he wants what's best for you. But after all of that, James doesn't end there. He actually leaves us with some great truths that we can know because when we face trials and temptations, it's good to know some godly truths. Look at verse 17. He talks about trials. He talks about temptations. He talks about what it leads to. And then he says this, every good thing given and every perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation of shifting shadow. We see all this stuff about trials and temptations and what that leads to, but then James reminds us, he leaves us with some good news. He tells us what to remember when we face these trials and temptations. He says, don't forget every good thing and every perfect gift is from above. Guess what that means? It's not from this world. It's from above. And he says, coming down from the Father of lights. That's actually a really cool old Jewish expression that they would call God as the creator of lights. They would call him the Father of lights, just talking about him as the creator. James is telling us that this world is full of trials and temptations, but in the midst of those trials, in the midst of those temptations, know that God is always good. Know that God is always good. Psalm 100 verse 5 says this, for the Lord is good. His loving kindness is everlasting and his faithfulness to all generations. Church, that's who God is. He's always good. He always will be good. And because he is good, that's what comes out of him, right? Because he's good, James says that every good thing given is from God. Church, everything good given is not from this world. It's not from your flesh. It's not from your favorite celebrity. It's not from whatever it may be. It's not from your job. It's not from money. It's not from sex. It's from God. Every good thing given is from God. When we face trials and temptations, when we are in the midst of it, when life is hard and we're going through it, we can have joy because we know without a shadow of a doubt that God is good. We can trust him to always be good. and to give us what is good and what is good for us. The next thing we see is in verse 17. James says, with God, there's no variation of shifting shadow. We can't really go into all of what that phrase means, but here's what it does mean. God does not change. God will always be good. Though the world around us may change, though we face different things in life, God remains the same, church. Guess what this means? He was good. He is good. He will always be good. God never changes from being good. Guess what? He never gets in a bad mood with you. He never has a change in his mood for the worse, and he can never have a change for the better either, because he is already perfectly good. I don't know about y'all, but I said amen when I was writing that out, okay? Let's try that again. All right, you ready? Let's try that again. God never changes from being good. He never gets in a bad mood. He never has a change for the worse. He can never have a change for the better, because he is already perfectly good. Amen? Right? Guess what that means? There is no one gooder than God. There is nothing, there is no one gooder than God, church. He remains the same. He remains good always. Amen, right? And so while we're in the midst of it, we can trust him because he will always be good. Last is from verse 18. And some good news that is oh so gooder-ist. In the exercise of his will, he brought us forth from the word of truth so that we would be a kind of first fruits among his creatures. I'm going to get a talking to by my wife after this. She's going to correct my English. This verse right here, church, this verse right here, this is so good. It speaks of God's salvation. Guys, this is so good. Don't miss this. God brought forth the word of truth. You know what that is? That's the gospel. That's the best news ever. God saw us. He saw our need. He saw our trials. He saw our temptations. He saw our sin. He saw us separated from us or from God. And he brought forth a way to rescue and redeem us. Come on. He came to save us and rescue us from our sins because we deserve death. And he says, I got you because I'm good. Church, we know that we face temptations where we fall and we sin and we choose something over God, and that leads to just heartache and eternal death. But God, in his goodness, he made a way for us to be forgiven. The last truth for us to know today is this: God saved us from our sins. And our life, as those who have been saved, those who are Jesus followers, we are the proof that God is good. His salvation in us is proof that he is good. And it's only the beginning. Because we don't live for this world, we live for his reward when we are with him, church. We live now for the day when we're with him, with no more trials and no more temptations and no more death and no more tears, no more what this world has to offer, only the goodness of God forever. Amen? Church, go out and tell people the goodness of God. Because people are chained to their sin and they're going to hell. But Jesus says, I came to bring my goodness to you. I just want to keep preaching. Can we do that? Goodness. I'm the way, Jesus says, the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father but by me. He's good. Even in the midst of our trials, he's good. Even when we don't feel him, he's still good. Even when we sin against him, he's oh so good-er. Amen. Man, this is, I'm going to have to be quiet because I'm going to keep going. Church, here's the thing, man. If you are here today and you're going through it, know that God is good and tell him thank you for that. Praise him for that. Sing to him. We're going to sing here in a minute. God is good. Even when we sin against God, he's good to us. Even when we don't deserve it, he's good to us. If you're here today and you said, you know what, I don't know this Jesus. I've not tasted the goodness of God. I've not been saved from my sins. Don't miss out on the goodness of God. If you're online today, don't miss out on the goodness of God. Jesus came to rescue us, for God so loved us that he gave Jesus, and whoever believes in him would not perish but have everlasting life. That's what we live for. Let's pray. Father, we love you.